Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 390, Healing in the Name. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on Sunday, October 13th, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I'm going to take this opportunity to thank you for your faithfulness in giving, your faithfulness to the Lord. The Bible says we should first give ourselves to Him and then to the work of the ministry. And so we have many, many opportunities to sow seed, receive a harvest, and keep sowing more seed. Amen? Praise the Lord. Sometimes we make it all about us, but it's really all about Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. His name is the greatest name, the name above every name, that at every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen and amen. Why don't you stand for a few minutes? I've been sitting for a little bit. We appreciated that we could share that message from Pastor Israel and Guy with you this morning, because a lot of people don't understand about Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and I thought it was really, really great explanation. It was a little longer than the normal ones that we use, but really, really great. So we're so glad to stand with the church, with the Messianic congregations in Israel. Every month we send funds to Israel from our first fruits giving to be a blessing to the congregations across the land. And many people are coming to know Yeshua, their Messiah, as a result. So we're so happy to partner with them. And as well as partnering with people like Feeding the Nations, also we give monthly to Feeding the Nations, helping people worldwide, but especially now during the hurricane a trauma that's going on, to help the people in our own nation. Praise the Lord. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to come together. We thank you, Father, that your word never returns empty, always accomplishes what you please, prospers where you send it. So today we open our hearts, Lord, to receive your word. Father, I ask that you would speak clearly through me today, Father, that I would share your heart with the people. And Father God, that your word will really make an impact and be a blessing, Lord. Your words are life to us and health to our flesh. And so as we look to the healing Jesus, the one who atoned for us, paid the price for our sins, also for our sicknesses, the one who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace was placed on him, and with his stripes we were healed. So we give you glory. We give you honor, we give you praise in the name of Jesus, our Messiah. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. So today I want to spend this message time speaking to you about the subject of healing. We owe a great debt to the people that have gone before us, those who have mentored us, those who have taught us, those who have walked with us and helped us to find our way to Jesus and find our way in navigating the difficulties in life, to stay on course, to stay on the track with Jesus. So for Pastor Karen and I, one of the primary figures was Dr. Lester Sumrall. He was our pastor for many years. I ran his relief organization, the Sea Global Feed the Hungry, for a number of years, and traveled to many nations with him during that time. But also men that led the Word of Faith movement, like Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland. All of those people teaching and ministering the Word of God into our lives so that we could become people of faith and walk by faith and not by sight. It's been a magnificent journey. It's been a blessing. It's been no sad stories. I mean, we could tell some sad stories, but you know, you wouldn't be interested in the sad stories. We just tell the happy ones. Amen. Praise the Lord. But everybody has their struggles. Everybody has their things to face. But Jesus is the answer. And he has answers for you today. He has victory for you today. And one of those areas that he has victory for you is in your health, in your well-being, in your healing that he has promised to give you. Kenneth Hagin has written this. I'm just using his quote. He says, wherever two people are agreeing in prayer, Jesus is there to see that what they agree on happens. Wherever two people are agreeing in prayer, Jesus is there to see that what they agree on happens. Well, that comes from the Word of God. Jesus said, where two should agree is touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them by our Father which is in heaven. So it's so important to be in unity and to be in agreement. You know, if you can get a couple people to agree on anything these days, it's an amazing feat. Because our nation is divided, the nations are divided, and there's so much strife in families, in homes, in workplaces. Sometimes it's just really a crazy world. But in the church, in the place where we have fellowship around the Word of God, we should be able to come to a place where we're in agreement, where we're ministering together. But at least we should, every one of us should be able to find at least one person that we can get in agreement concerning the things that we ask or need to come to God about, and especially that is true in the area of healing. So this morning I'm going to talk about, I'm just going to mention a number of ways that you can receive healing, and then focus on one specific way. Because the Bible gives us quite a few ways that we can receive healing. I don't mean this to be an exhaustive study on the subject, because, you know, in a 30-minute time, you cannot do justice to that. You cannot just do justice to saying everything there is to be said about the ways that Jesus provides healing for us, or that God provides healing for us. But we'll cover a few of those ways and focus on one of them especially. So, because everybody's faith isn't at the same level, God has provided various methods by which physical healing can be obtained through His Word. So, in other words, He doesn't leave you stranded somewhere where you're not at the same level of somebody else, so you just can't receive. You get it this way, or it's my way or the highway. He just has provided a lot of avenues for us to receive from Him. I hope that you have your receivers open, because you can find one of those ways today to receive, not just healing for your body, but other areas of your life where you have needs or desires or wants or things that you've really been struggling with. Praise the Lord. So if we cannot rise to meet Him on His level, then he's going to come down to a place where He can meet us on ours. Because He's a compassionate God. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of love. A God that cares about your greatest need, your greatest struggle. He has compassion on you. His love is unsurpassed and it's unmatched. And because of that, He's provided all of these ways. So, just want to mention a few of those ways, and then look to some scripture for one specific way. The first way just is to pray for healing in the name of Jesus. So in John chapter 16, I believe she's going to put that on the screen, John chapter 16. Let's just read that together. Can we do that? Can you participate in the message today? Just read it out loud together. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and He will grant your request because you use my name. Isn't that amazing? So then verse 24 says, you haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. I think that's an amazing passage. You know, he's saying, just ask. Just ask in the name. So what is it about the name? There's authority in that name. There's power in that name. And so when you pray to the Father in Jesus' name, that thing that you pray for belongs to you today, in this day, in this time. He says, in that day you will ask me nothing. You'll ask the Father in my name. So whenever we have needs, whenever we have requests, we can go to the Father under the authority of the name of Jesus. He's saying, I'm authorizing your request that comes to the Father. And because I authorize your request is granted. Praise the Lord. So if you're asking for sinful things or for some, you know, some things like that, you're outside of the outline of the scripture. You're out of bounds. But according to the word of God, those things that are not sinful things, there's no limit that you can place on God, because he's the God of no limits. Praise the Lord. So sometimes we think, well, I can't ask certain things because that would just be selfish. Like, you know, who am I to get this from God? Well, if he's promised it in his word, it belongs to you. So if you're in doubt about the things that you're asking God about, just get into the word of God, look in the word, and find it in the word somewhere, and then you can know that everything within the word that God promises you is his will for you. And you won't be praying wrongly. You won't be praying out of bounds. You'll be praying in line and directly in concert with the heart of God. So that's one way that you can receive healing. If you need healing today, you could go to the Father in Jesus' name, ask for your healing, and receive. Because he says you'll have great joy when... He's saying that we should do that so that we have great joy, so that our joy may be full. So if you're not full of joy about how you're living your life, then you need to go to Jesus. You need to go to the Father in Jesus' name, because you shouldn't be sitting in a place of misery, in a place of, I hate this, I hate my job, I hate my wife, I hate my kids, I hate everything. But there's a lot of people that are living in that place. They're just stuck because they don't know the fullness of God's love for them, and they don't know the power of praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. You know, maybe you've not had a good father, so your images of fathers are not good. But you can correct that by getting into the Word and finding out who he is and drawing close to him, because in him you'll find a good father. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. A second way that you can receive healing would be to agree and pray with another believer. So here's another scripture from Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. So let's read that together. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. I think that's a pretty amazing scripture as well. Because anything is anything, right? That's better than Visa, MasterCard, American Express. It says, if you two agree as touching anything that you ask, it shall be done for them of my Father in heaven. He didn't say maybe it'll happen. You know, could happen, might not happen. What if, and you know, all the ifs, ands, and buts about it. He just said, if you two can agree as touching this thing that you're asking, it'll be done for you. Isn't that an amazing scripture? You can say, well, I tried that once. You know, that's one of the problems. You know, we try stuff. We don't really do stuff. We just try stuff. It's just like, you know, I'm going to throw something up and see if it sticks, you know. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. It's kind of a game of chance. But no, it's not a game of chance. This is Jesus speaking to you, giving you instruction on how you can have a relationship with God that will benefit you, will benefit your family, will bring blessing into your life, will bring blessing into your family. So just find somebody to agree with. You know, if you feel like maybe you don't have the faith to pray for something on your own and pray in Jesus' name and get it, go find somebody to stand in agreement with you and pray the prayer of agreement with them. He says, when you do that, anything you ask, touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. He didn't say it might be done. He didn't say, well, it's just a possibility. He said it shall be done. And anything could include healing, right? That would include anything that you need healing for. Praise the Lord. So whenever two people are agreeing in prayer, Jesus is there to see that what they agree on happens. Praise the Lord. Third way that you can receive healing is anointing with oil. James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. So let's read that together. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Another amazing scripture. So if you couldn't get it the first two ways, how about this way? Come for the elders of the church. Ask them to pray the prayer of faith over you. Anoint you with oil. Verse 14 is pretty interesting because it starts out, it says, is there any sick among you? It's like there shouldn't be any sick people in your place. There shouldn't be. But if there is, here's the remedy. You, the person who's sick, call for the elders of the church. Now, let me just stop there for a second. A lot of times people bring people to us for prayer. And it turns out that many times the person bringing the person for prayer wants it more than the person who's being brought for prayer. It just doesn't work very well. Because if the person you're bringing doesn't want what you're trying to get them to get, they're probably not going to get it. They're not going to receive what you're asking God for them. So he's saying here, the instruction is, let him call the person who's sick. Let him call for the elders of church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, another thing to be said about that is, you know, maybe the urgency of the matter. You know, sometimes people wait until they're wait to build their faith for healing until it's way too late. I mean, when the doctor says that you're terminal and you've got 5 days to live, you know, it's kind of hard to catch up on all the scriptures on healing because you're probably not feeling well in the first place and it's maybe a little too late. But there's still a remedy. The remedy is that person could call for the elders of the church. If you're strong enough to call for the elders of the church, from the leadership of the church, the ministers of the church, to anoint you with oil and to pray the prayer of faith over you, if you're strong enough to do that, you can receive your healing. And by the way, if you've sinned, you get forgiveness at the same time. Isn't that wonderful? Because there's healing in the atonement along with forgiveness of sins. They're all the same package. Jesus went to the cross. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. Chastisement of your peace was upon him, and with his stripes you were healed. We couldn't serve a more wonderful God that took care of us in a better way than that. That he's concerned about every aspect of our life, down to the last thing of dealing with sickness. Praise the Lord. Is there any sick among you? Then here's the remedy. And then he says, verse 15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, or you could say heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. So the elders don't have the anointing to heal you, but the Lord's the one who raises people up. The part about the oil, why the oil? Well, I think God gives us some tangible things, things that we can feel so that we can make a relationship, that when we feel the touch and we feel the oil, that we can believe inside and receive what God has promised for us. It's like a point of contact to release your faith to receive what God has provided for you. So when you're coming for someone to anoint you with oil and to pray for you, you should be releasing your faith with the person who's praying and saying, yes, yes, I receive. I believe I receive. I can have it now, not someday. So you say, well, what if it doesn't happen instantly? Well, does it matter whether it happens instantly or whether it's progressive? As long as you get it, it doesn't really matter, right? Well, maybe it matters to you because, you know, we want to put everything in the microwave and bring it out hot, you know. But nonetheless, sometimes it's a process and sometimes it's instantaneous. And the reason is because we're not God. God is God. Amen. And he's created us really to receive healing. He's created our bodies to actually heal themselves. I mean, you get a cut, you know, all other things being equal, you know, it's going to heal over a few days or a period of time. Amen? Praise the Lord. So assuming you don't get infection and some all other kinds of things that can happen, it should go well with you. Amen? Hallelujah. So number four, another way to receive healing is laying on of hands. This comes from the Great Commission in Mark chapter 16, verse 18. 16:18. Okay, let's read that. It says, they will be able to handle snakes with safety. Okay, that tripped me up a little bit about the devil stuff at the beginning, but I don't recommend you be playing with snakes. But if one does happen to come your way, you can handle it with safety. That's what the word says. Amen? Praise the Lord. This is not the snake handling church here. We're not into drinking poison. But, you know, there might be some places, in our city where you could get some. So don't do it. But if it happens to you, it says it won't hurt you. And then it says they will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Okay. Some of the scriptures, some of the translations says they shall recover. So I think that sometimes trips people up because you expect something instantaneously, but you get recovery instead. So recovery is great because recovery is important. Amen. Whether it's within 2 minutes or whether it's in 10 days or whether it's in 2 months, if you've really been sick and you've been struggling with it, when you receive your healing, it's wonderful. Amen. When your healing manifests, whether it's progressive or whether it's instantaneous, it's wonderful. Praise the Lord. So all believers can lay hands on people. Everybody, take a look at your hand. Say, this hand can bring healing to somebody. I'm a believer. I can lay my hands on the sick. And God promises that they shall recover. See, we're not talking about magic. There's no magic in the hand. Amen. But again, it's a point of contact. When you lay hands on the sick, it's a point of contact. They can release their faith to receive. And when they release their faith to receive, healing goes into them. God puts the healing in the hand. Amen. You place the hand, God puts the power, but the person there has to receive. So the person on the other end of the laying on of hands can block healing. They can block it in a lot of ways and not receive. And that trips up a lot of people because you say, well, I laid hands on this person and they didn't get it. Well, there can be a lot of reasons for that, and we won't go into some of the reasons. But the importance is to know that it's not based on you. This is based on God and what Jesus did at the cross for people to receive healing. And this is only one of the methods, one of the ways that you can receive your healing if somebody, a believer, lays hands on you. Praise the Lord. And then we come to another one. I want to spend a little more time on this one. This one is the use of the name of Jesus. Now, just a little while ago in our worship time, we were singing a lot of songs that had to do with the name of Jesus and the importance of his name and the power of his name and the glory that's in his name. And we were lifting up the name of Jesus in this place. The name of Jesus has tremendous power in itself, but that power basically is based on the authorization that Jesus gave us to go to the Father and get things based on his authority. Praise the Lord. So throughout the book of Acts, the apostles didn't pray for the sick. They demanded that they get up and walk. Isn't that interesting? So a lot of times, you know, we want to pray long prayers. We want to just, lay hands on people till we've rubbed all the hair off their head. We want to anoint them with oil until they drowned in oil. Because, you know, we're frustrated about people receiving stuff. But when people in the book of Acts, when the apostles, the believers, the New Testament church ministered to people, it seems like they didn't pray long prayers. They just said, get up and walk. And if you look at all of the times that Jesus healed people, so, you know, sometimes he did some strange things. One time he spit and he touched a person's eye. Another time he made a ball of mud and stuck it in somebody's eye, told them to go wash and they'd come back well. So he never did things, seemingly didn't do things the same way every time. Why is that? It's because he was looking to the Holy Spirit on what to do. The Bible says that Jesus claimed that he only did what he saw his Father do, and he only spoke the thing that he heard his Father speak. I think if we made that our rule, we'd probably have a better life as well, you know, because a lot of the stuff we do, it's just because we're frustrated and we're doing something, you know. We think if we're doing something, you know, it's important. At least it's better than sitting and doing nothing. But the Bible says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So our relationship with the Father has a lot to do with our success levels in doing things. And if we would just do what we see the Father do, we'd be a lot more successful. If we just would speak the things that we hear the Father speak, we'd have a whole lot more peace around us and probably a lot more wisdom coming out of us as well. Because sometimes we say pretty crazy stuff to each other and to ourselves, and, you know, whatever, we're mumbling under our breath about this thing or that thing, and it's not creating anything good, because out of the mouth, you know, we can speak blessing or we can speak cursing, and a lot of times we're cursing ourselves and we're cursing others with the words of our mouth. So we should just speak with what we hear the Father say. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you're not hearing what the Father says, then you got a different problem. The problem is your relationship with him, and you need to develop that so that you can hear his voice. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow." So if you're one of his sheep, you're one of the believers, you're one of the followers of Jesus, you should be hearing his voice. And if you can't hear his voice, then maybe you need to sit and get quiet for a little bit so that you can hear his voice. Because a lot of times we have stuff going on in our lives that just prevent us from hearing because we've got a lot of clamor going on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you can't say amen, just say oh me. Praise God. So using the name of Jesus. So throughout the book of Acts, they demanded that people would get up and walk. When Peter and John ministered to the lame man at the gate called Beautiful, you know, coming up to the temple, in Acts chapter 3, they demanded that in the name of Jesus, that he would rise and walk. So let's take a look at that scripture from Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, I don't even know what version I'm reading out of here, but hopefully it's one that's easy for you to understand. So Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man who was lame," I think this is ESV, English Standard Version, "a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that's called Beautiful to ask alms of those entering the temple." Just a sideline here is that this guy got hauled to the temple gate a lot to get money, to basically to beg for money from people who were going to the temple. So it's really possible that Jesus would have walked by this guy a lot of times when he was in Jerusalem going to the temple. Interesting thing is Jesus either didn't pay any attention to him or just walked by him, leaving this miracle for a later time. Maybe the man never asked Jesus for money. We don't know. But he seems to be asking a lot of people for things as they're coming in. So when Peter and John get there, it's a different story. On that day, he got their attention. So it says in verse 3, "Seeing Peter and John about to go to the temple, he asked to receive alms." Alms was gifts to the poor. "And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, 'Look at us.' And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them." So at least this guy had some level of faith. He was operating in some level of expectation. It says that he expected to receive something from them. Verse 6, "But Peter But Peter said, I have no silver or gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So that's not really a prayer, is it? It's not even a request. It's a demand. Get up and walk. You might say, well, that's a little bit rude. I don't know. It worked for the guy, right? Rude or not. Verse 7, it says, he took him by the right hand, raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered into the temple with him, walking and leaping and praising God. And the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Why were they filled with wonder and amazement? Because they'd seen this guy for years sitting at the gate of the temple asking for money, begging for money, trying to make his life a little more comfortable. They'd seen him day in and day out. And now they're seeing him walking and leaping and praising God. Just because somebody said, well, I didn't bring my wallet with me today. I don't have any cash to give you today. It was before Visa and MasterCard and before you could pay with plastic. But for whatever reason, Peter and John didn't have any money to give him. I'm sure if they had some money to give him, they probably would have given him some money. But they didn't have it along that day. Maybe the treasure that they left him behind or something. I don't know. They lost Judas, back when Jesus died. And maybe they hadn't even gotten the new treasure yet. So anyway, for whatever reason, they didn't have it. He said, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Now, verse 11 says that while he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murder to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised up from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man perfect health in the presence of you all. I think that's a pretty amazing statement, that last verse there, verse 16. Set on the screen. Let's read that again. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man his perfect health in the presence of you all. And they weren't even from Texas. They were from Israel. In the presence of you all, praise the Lord. Faith in the name of Jesus, in his name, and faith in his name, this man was made well. The power of faith is unparalleled. When you release faith to God, stuff happens. When faith is released, God moves. Well, maybe God is always moving. When faith is released, we notice that God has moved. Put it that way. He doesn't stop moving by our lack of faith. He doesn't stop moving because of people. But sometimes we stop his moving in our lives just because of the stuff we got going on, or the place that we've been, or things that we believe or things that we don't believe. All of those things can work in our detriment. But you have a right to demand in Jesus' name that people be healed. I know sometimes, you know, in church we pray over people and we pray long prayers, and there's nothing wrong with prayer, there's nothing wrong with short prayers, and there's nothing wrong with long prayers. But sometimes you just have to make a demand, place a demand on the power of God or on the power of the name of Jesus. And that's what these two were doing when they said to that man, they placed a demand on the name of Jesus. They said, in his name, rise up and walk, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In other words, by the authorization of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They released that authority to make that man's ankles and legs that were paralyzed become well. So I don't remember if this guy was that way for 30 some years, something like that. He was in that condition. It doesn't matter how long standing or how short the illness might be. The power of the name of Jesus is greater, because Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So you are not really demanding this of God, because God didn't make him sick in the first place. You're demanding in the name of Jesus that the devil turn them loose. Sickness is of the devil. It's not from God. Sickness is not a blessing from God. And he's not using broken necks and car wrecks to teach you a lesson either. Stuff happens to people. We go through traumatic stuff, and stuff can happen to us. But those are not the things that bring you to Jesus. It's the goodness of God that brings people to repentance. And the goodness of God is that Jesus loved you enough to go to the cross for you so that you could be forgiven and healed. And if you'll receive that, that's the basis. That's the beginning basis of you receiving anything that you need from God. It belongs to you. It's yours today. You don't have to wait for it. It's instantaneous in terms of the spirit world. And then your body will catch up to the word of God. Praise the Lord. We always recommend that people get into the healing scriptures if they're sick, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. If you will prepare yourself before you come for healing, you will probably be more likely to receive it, and also more likely to keep your healing once you get it. Because how many of you know that when you get something from God, the devil is around the corner? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. So never forget that Jesus is greater than the devil. We don't have to be concerned about what he does, but sometimes we have to deal with the stuff that he does. And one of the things that we deal with him is by using the name of Jesus, that name above every name. God didn't make them sick in the first place, but the devil has to turn them loose. Jesus said, in my name they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, in Mark 16, 17, and 18. There is power in that name. So Jesus' name belongs to us, but it will not work unless we use it. So, you know, out in the world they use Jesus' name, but it's not in a good way. I'm always amazed, you know, that the subject of Jesus comes up when somebody bangs their thumb with a hammer, or gets into some kind of altercation and something like that, using the name of Jesus in vain. But the name of Jesus belongs to the believers. It belongs to those who are saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, and want to use that name to bring his power to bear in areas where the devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So the name of Jesus is the key that unlocks the door to the impossible and to the supernatural. Do you remember what Peter said to the crowd when they gathered after that lame man was healed there? He said, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or our piety we've made him walk? It's his name. Faith in his name has made this man strong whom you see and know. The faith that is through Jesus has given this man perfect health in the presence of you all. Amazing, the power of the name of Jesus. The power and the authority of the name of Jesus. Now, all of what we've just spoken about, we're talking about in specifics towards healing, but the name of Jesus will work in any area that you're struggling, in any area of your family that you have needs. The name of Jesus is greater than every need, every situation, and every circumstance. And finally, I just want to talk about maybe the most important aspect of this is knowing that healing belongs to you. You know, sometimes people struggle whether it's the will of God to heal them or not. I don't know why that is exactly. It could be, you know, mistaught or misthought or just insecurity or condemnation or other kinds of things. But you have to come to the place where you know that it's God's will for you to be healed. If you can come to that place, then you can have faith for healing. You can have faith to receive healing. I always recommend that people read the first few verses of Matthew chapter 8, because in the second verse it talks about a leper who came to Jesus and said, "If you're willing, Jesus, you can make me well." Jesus immediately spoke to him and said, I am willing, be made whole. And the guy was healed instantly. When you can come to the place of knowing that it's God's will for you to be healed, you can receive the healing that he's provided for you. So the best method by which you can be healed is to know for yourself the scriptures, like Isaiah chapter 53 that I quoted to you a little bit ago, that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, bruised. And then at the end of it says, by his stripes we're healed. Or Matthew 8:17, it says, himself bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. So if Jesus bore them, why do you have to bear them? You don't, because you can have healing. You can receive your healing. But the issue is in our generation, I think one of the issues is that a lot of times we depend on the doctors and the medical institutions and the psychiatrists and the people that are in that profession to help us. So there's nothing wrong with going to a doctor. I'm not preaching against going to doctors or any of those kinds of things. But a lot of times in our generation, the people go to those places first, and then if nothing else works, then they finally come to God and say, you know, the doctor can't heal me anymore. They've done everything that they said they could do. So, as a last resort, I'm going to try Jesus. Unfortunately, usually that doesn't work, because if you're just trying stuff again, instead of doing, being a doer of the word, it's just not working. So what's the point of it? The point of it is, if you're going to go to the doctor, go to Jesus first. Maybe ask him about the doctor. He probably could direct you to the right one, if that's where your level of faith is. He's not against you going to the doctor. Luke was a physician that ministered with Paul. And so we know that, you know, the Bible doesn't teach against doctors. And many people would probably die prematurely if it wasn't for doctors. We have doctor friends that are tremendous believers. I've had doctors that prayed over me when I really had some needs. I don't know if their treatment did me any good, but their prayer sure did, because I got healed. Praise the Lord. So where am I going with this? The main thing is that you get in your heart, what does the Bible say about my healing? 1 Peter 2:24, who himself took our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live to righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Those kind of scriptures need to get down on the inside of you, so that you know that you have what you believe, that you receive from God according to the Word of God. It's so important to meditate on the Word of God. In Joshua 1:8-9, it says that we will prosper and have good success if we meditate in the Word of God. It says the same thing in Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree that's planted by rivers of waters, that brings forth his fruit in its season, and his leaf also does not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's the word of God. That kind of word has to get down inside of you. And when that word gets down inside of you, revelation happens. When revelation happens, your faith begins to reach out and take the blessing of God. And as your faith takes the blessing of God, your body responds to the word of God and lines up with the word of God, and you get your healing. Also, it has to do with keeping the healing that already you have. When you have the word of God inside of you, you're more likely to keep it. Sometimes people get healed through a miracle, through working of miracles, or through gifts of healing, and they walk out of the place, and a few days later, a symptom comes back, and they say, oh, well, I must not have gotten it. Oh, they got it all right, but now the devil's coming to steal it from them. And how they respond to those symptoms will have everything to do whether they keep their healing or whether they lose their healing. So it's really, really important to have the word of God and to know that it belongs to you. We should refuse to allow disease or sickness in our bodies because we're healed. If you're healed, you're not sick. Amen? So praise the Lord. Just shuck it off and say, get out of here. Symptoms go in the name of Jesus because I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. We simply know it, so we thank God for it. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm healed. I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed, and the devil's trying to steal my health from me. But I'm not taking it today. Bug off in Jesus' name. Get out of my body. Body, line up with the word of God. Do how God created you to do. Be healed in the name of Jesus. So when you have that revelation inside, you can be proactive about those kinds of things. So we thank God. We thank him for providing Jesus, sending him to the cross so that we could be healed and forgiven. We don't have to have anybody lay hands on us necessarily. If you need it, you know, go get it. But you don't need that if you got the word inside of you. We thank God, the Father, for perfect deliverance, for setting us free by the power that Jesus provided at the cross when he died and when he rose again from the grave. He rose victorious over sin, over sickness, over disease, over poverty, over lack, and over everything that the devil uses to steal from people. So we thank God for our perfect deliverance. Believers should thoroughly understand that their healing was consummated through Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. When you come to know that in your heart, you are a long ways towards receiving what God has provided for you. But you have to know it in your heart, not just in your head. Amen? So, yes, we process things through our intellect. That's one of the ways that we receive into our heart. But in the heart is where the belief needs to be. You know, you can have some doubts in your head, but faith in your heart, and still get your miracle. But if you have no faith in your heart and just faith in your head, usually it doesn't work. Praise the Lord. But God is good. He's faithful, and he wants you to receive. When you get it in your heart like that, that'll be the end of your sickness. It'll be the end of your disease in your body, and Jesus will be glorified. You know, I think that's one of the other main things that I've learned from the scriptures is that, you know, sometimes people are saying, well, my sickness is bringing glory to God. But really, the Bible teaches you that the healing was what brought glory to God. Get into the New Testament, read how Jesus healed people, how he set people free, and how he ministered to people, and you'll come away with a totally different perspective about those kinds of things. And one final thing is, you know, watch who you hang around, because who you hang around will make a difference in your life as to whether you're able to receive or not. Because there are many naysayers and people who say, well, you know, maybe that works for the pastor, but not working for us. Or maybe it works for this person, you know. And why did this, they always bring up the thing about my Aunt Minnie. She was a person of faith and she was a great believer and she died of cancer. So, okay, so that happened to her, but that doesn't change the word of God. That doesn't change God's intention towards you. We don't know about Aunt Minnie. We don't know what she believed. We don't know how she talked. We don't know who she had around her, discouraging her or encouraging her, or if she had anybody. You don't know about Aunt Minnie. You don't know what was in her heart. You don't know what was in her life. And maybe she wanted to die and go to heaven, you know. So you can't stop people if they're ready to go, you know, and you're trying to keep them down here and they're wanting to go, they'll go. there's a lot of things that can be happening with that. So don't base your faith on other people's experience. Don't base your faith on anything but the Word of God. And let faith come by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we want to pray for those that are online. So we pray that they find the church door, first of all, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, that you created us to have fellowship with you and fellowship with each other. We pray over our friends that are watching by internet, Father, some of those in other nations that couldn't possibly be here for a Sunday service. We ask you, Lord, to bless them. We pray your healing over them. We release your healing power to go to them today. In the mighty name of Jesus, name above every name, be healed, be made whole, be made well, and be blessed in his name. So just write us and let us know what God did in Jesus' name. So we place a demand on, we place a demand for healing of your body in Jesus' name, the authority of Jesus' name. And we believe, God, with you, that you will receive today, not someday, today, now, here at this moment, that you receive the healing for your body that you need in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.